Now, Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Judges, chapter 13. And here is the notice that the Lord gives to the parents who are about to give birth to Samson. We all know the story of Samson. And this is like with John the Baptist and with Jesus. God sends a messenger to tell the people of what is going to happen. At this time, and once more in this situation, Israel is doing evil in the sight of God. And God had judged them for 40 years by the hands of the Philistines. We all know about the Babylonians taking them captive for 70 years, but here was another case where the Philistines had control of the Israelites for 40 years. Thank you.
Beginning verse 1 in chapter 13. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, 'O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born.' And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, 'Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me.' So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, 'Are you the man who spoke to this woman?' And he said, 'I am.' Manoah said, 'Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?' So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe.' Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you.' And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honour you?' And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?' So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord." Amen.
Thank you, Cheryl. So here we have the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ appearing to Manoah and announces that a miracle is to take place. Manoah and his wife, who was barren, would conceive and bear a son. This couple were chosen to live soberly in order to raise up a son for God. His hair would not be cut. He is not to touch any dead body. He must not be defiled and drink no wine. No razor shall touch his head. Was the sign of a Nazarite, a person who was set apart for God. In verses 15 and 16 there we read where Manoah was going to offer him food, the angel food, as was the custom for that time. And the same as what had happened with Abraham when the angels came to meet with Abraham and discuss the judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham had went out and killed a calf to prepare food for the angels. It was explained to him, to Manoah, to make an offering to the Lord. And in verses 17 and 18, Manoah wanted to know his name. Wonderful. Wonderful. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we read there, "And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God." This is Jesus Christ our Lord. "The flame went towards heaven. The angel ascended in the flame," and these point to the divine acceptance of the offering made by this couple to God. And so here we see another example of the power of Almighty God in his mercy towards mankind. Our New Testament reading comes from the book of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. And verses 26 to 33. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, rejoice, highly favoured one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Of his kingdom there will be no end. So here we have another event where an angel from God comes down to prepare the people that he has called for special service. Here we have another announcement by the angel Gabriel, telling Mary of the most marvellous event to take place in the world, that of the incarnation and the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we read this passage of Scripture, how do we respond? For when we think about it, this announcement given to this young maiden 2,000 years ago was for our salvation here in the 21st century today. And notice also the location in verses 26 and 27 in Nazareth. This was an obscure town in Galilee, and this place was looked down upon by the surrounding Jews. We remember in John's Gospel, chapter 1, where Jesus was calling his disciples. And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" He was talking to his brother Philip. And Philip had said to Nathanael, "Come and see this man, Jesus Christ." And Philip had said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." And so here we can imagine Mary living there, who was obviously not wealthy and living just a humble, simple life. And yet it was by the providence of God that it would be this way. In 1 Peter 5:5 we read, "God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble." And he'd come to probably one of the most humble young girls in the area, in one of the probably the poorest places on the map at that time. God could have chosen a person from the great city of Jerusalem. He could have chosen the daughter of some rich scribe or Pharisee to be the Lord's mother, but it was not so. The first coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would be in humble humiliation, even from birth. And we read this in Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him." And this appears too from the area by which Jesus came. The carnal world today recognises the rich, and many in today's world despise poverty. But this example of our Lord, who was in this life devoid of gold and riches and anywhere to lay his head. And so we are reminded here too that our earthly riches cannot and do not determine our place in heaven. In Corinthians 8 verse 9 we read, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, "he was rich beyond degree, yet though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." And we might not be the richest people in our street here this morning, but we're rich beyond measure because we have our place reserved in heaven for us, with our name written on it. And when you turn to John 14, 1-6, we read there where Jesus said, "You trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house, in the kingdom of God, are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you," Jesus said, "and I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus has prepared our place in heaven, put a message on the front door, reserved, and our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's hard. That's hard to take in the world that we live in, with the values that we have around us in this world today. We talk about living in the Spirit. We talk about putting to death the lust of the flesh. And we all know that the flesh strives for social gain, for riches, for notoriety, to be the best. And we make trophies for the best, for the winners in this world. And yet, as we read through this passage, as we contemplate what this passage is telling us, that the things of the world are the opposite to the things of God. Look at Jesus Christ. Look at his mother in this little town of Bethlehem in Nazareth. Born in a stable. Could you get any lower than that? No riches, no home. And then he laid down his life. He gave his life. Not for himself, but for us. Now we look around the world and we see Bill Gates standing there, a billionaire. And we know that he gives away millions and millions of dollars every year for charity. And we know also that in all that he gives away, he's still got plenty for himself. And I don't begrudge him that at all. And that goes for all of us. We all like to give to charity and support missionaries and all these sorts of things in our life. But we don't cut ourselves short. Compare that to Jesus Christ, born in a stable. He had to pay his taxes. He had to send Peter out and to catch a fish. He had no home. And then he laid down his life. He gave all that he had that we might have the confidence and the peace of mind and the certainty in our hearts today that this same person who laid down his life has prepared our eternal home in heaven. Let us take note here. There is a relationship with Christ. There is a relationship with Christ available to each and every one of us. And this relationship is far greater than flesh and blood. This is a relationship which belongs to all who repent and believe. This relationship can start today in this life and then continue through all of eternity. And there's no riches needed. In Matthew 12, verse 50, we read, "For whoever does," Jesus said, "whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is," and this is the King of Kings speaking, "is my brother and sister and mother." We're so used to looking at everything through the eyes of a carnal world today. And we see it in other countries of the world today. We see ISIS trying to take over the world and enforce their will and their law upon every person upon the face of this earth. America would like to rule the world. China would like to rule the world. Germany would like to rule the world. Malcolm Turnbull might like to rule the world. We strive. The lust of the flesh wants us to go after these things that are material, that have no value in the eyes of God. In verses 31 to 33, the angel gives an account of our Lord Jesus Christ to Mary. Firstly was his name. He shall be called Jesus. He will be great. King of an everlasting kingdom and bringing a great salvation to his followers. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Can you imagine? This is Mary, betrothed to be married. She's a virgin. A stranger comes to the door and he comes in and he gives her this message. We all know what happened to Zacharias. When Abraham was told, he laughed and Sarah didn't believe. Bring forth a son and you shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great. And will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. Could you imagine the mind of Mary at this time? trying to comprehend all that is being laid upon her here. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. We all know that Jesus was a prophet greater than Moses while on this earth. We all know that he told the disciples especially that he would die, that he would rise from the tomb, that he would ascend back to heaven. If I don't go back to my Father in heaven, I will not send you the Comforter. If I go back to him, it is your gain. I will send the Comforter. Well, who's the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. But he also said he would come again and reign over this earth. Today is between that time of leaving this earth and being at the throne of grace in heaven, and we receiving the Holy Spirit until he comes again. And so in this period of time now, he is our great high priest. He is our advocate at the throne of God in heaven, and he will be greater when he comes as Lord of Lords and King of Kings to bring peace to this earth. Something that all the knowledge and the power and the will of man can do nothing. He can do nothing. All we seem to be able to do is to be able to bring conflict to one another. And yet, here's Jesus Christ with the promise that he's going to come and bring peace on the earth. He was with God at creation and equal to the Father in all things. We read in John, in the beginning was the Word. Now, that the Word is Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In verse 11 it says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them, that's we who worship here this morning, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. He shall reign forever. And this promise is yet to come, but be sure it is coming. Israel is still to be gathered in as they look to him whom they pierced as their king and their God. In Revelation 1:7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. Even they, this is the Israelites, they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. And of his kingdom there will be no end. This is eternal, an eternal kingdom. All the kingdoms of this earth will pass away. Look at the mighty kingdoms of the past, Nineveh, Babylon. Jesus will reign with all believers. And every knee shall bow, rich or poor, great or small. Our Lord will come and he will reign 1,000 years, and he will take every believer with him home to his eternal kingdom. But something else is to happen here on earth. There'll be a great white throne judgment, when every non-believer, all those who have rejected the Son of God, will receive the sentence of eternal punishment. But for the believer, our eternal home is made ready. All the pain and the suffering that we now know will pass away as we exchange our mortality for immortality. Praise be to God. And this is the assignment of the one who was to be born of a woman, of Mary. Amen. I want to close with a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 26. And now we're looking at the end of Christ's life, dealing with our salvation today. But now, Christ is risen from the dead, Paul said, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, those who have died. For since by man came death, that's through Adam, by man also came the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all, that's all who are in Christ, shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming, when he comes to bring peace and to gather his believers home. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Amen.